Welcome to the Bitcoin Source Podcast, where we delve into the world of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. I'm your host, Daru, and today we have a special guest joining us, Marcel Lorraine. She is the founder and CEO of Bitcoin Dada. Bitcoin Dada is a woman-centric entity that is working towards educating African women into Bitcoin. Please welcome Marcel to the show.
Thank you so much, Dee. So my name, as you've heard, my name is Marcel Lorraine. I'm the founder of Bitcoin Dada, and glad to be here and share my story with you.
Yes, likewise. So Marcel, let's start this off quickly. Can you share with our audience the story behind founding Bitcoin Dada? And what initially drew you to focus on financial inclusion and empowerment?
Okay, so a bit about my background. So I went to campus for banking and finance. And then I left, I graduated, got employed by a bank. But then after a month, I felt like this wasn't for me, like the 8 to 5 thing wasn't working for me. So I left and started my own businesses. I can say I'm more of an entrepreneurial person, other than like a desk person, right? So I started my own businesses, then founded Lorice Events. I went back to school and did events organization. And then I founded my own company called Lorice Events. Lorice Events consults for both corporate and social events. So fast forward, I was really struggling with my finances. You know, I would say I'm really hardworking. So I'd work really hard, get all these gigs and all that. But then again, after every year, I realized like I had nothing to show for it. And it was mostly because of, you know, I'm saving in fiat. So at the end of the year, we have devaluation, we have inflation, we have taxes and all that. So it was really nagging me. And I was trying to figure out how I can maneuver that, you know, how I can navigate around our economy, right? So In 2018, we had a lot of hype around blockchain technology, just the same way we have now with AI and metaverse. So there was a lot of hype around blockchain technology. And people are really, or organizations were really dumping any cryptocurrency, anything that dealt with blockchain was dumped in Africa. So a friend of mine organized for me this particular contract with a certain company that they were coming to launch their product in Kenya. So I organized that particular event, and that is when I heard about decentralized finance. So the concept of decentralized finance really fascinated me. And I felt like, hey, this is like the answer to my problems. You know, as a young entrepreneur trying to just live from that point of not being living in the point of like hand to mouth, to actually being able to buy property, expand her business and all that. So I felt like decentralized finance could actually help me with that. So unfortunately, I did not have like a North Star. I didn't have like a guiding star in the field. So what happened was I ended up investing and investing my time and resources in different crypto companies and blockchain companies, which of course I lost money, but I also made some money on the side. It was the uncertainty that really fucked with my mind. Yeah, we are Bitcoiners, so we can say that. So it was the uncertainty of making money, losing money. It was like sort of gambling, right? So I was like, okay, maybe it's time to step back, actually try and understand this thing from my own point of view and not from other people's point of view, because I was working from the hype, you know, what is happening in the space. So when we had the lockdown, of course, I couldn't do any events, you know, so I started doing Forex trading. So I paid my bills with Forex. And then on the side, I started learning about Bitcoin, and I chose Bitcoin at the moment because Bitcoin was the only crypto, if I may say that, that had not disappointed me so far. So I felt like there was some truth into the crypto space. I just didn't know what truth it was. So I decided, okay, fine, let me pick the mother currency, which is crypto, which is Bitcoin, and focus on that. So I started learning about Bitcoin online. I was listening to, actually learned a lot from YouTube. I started following people on Bitcoin Twitter, you know, and all that.
Yeah, Bitcoin Twitter is huge for people.
From your perspective, why do you think there is a significant gender gap in the Bitcoin space, especially in Africa?
After when the world opened up after the pandemic, we had our first Bitcoin event in Kenya after the pandemic. So again, a friend of mine told me like, "Oh, there's some Bitcoiners coming into their country. You know, there's some Bitcoiners who want to like have like a small intimate meeting, and you're an event organizer. Why don't you do this for us?" So I actually organized that particular event. And during that event, I noticed there was a gender gap. Like I had been noticing, even with the crypto events, I had been noticing like there were very few females participating or attending the events. But the difference was in the crypto space, we had like, or I felt like it was like 70 to 30% attendance. But with the Bitcoin space, which was actually my first one in Kenya, it was basically like 98 to 2% because we are like only two females in that particular meeting. And remember, I didn't go there as a Bitcoin. I just went there as like an event organizer, right? I just decided let me stay, listen to what these people have to say because, again, I want to start contributing or I want to start making decisions, my investment decision based on actual information. So at that particular event, I decided, you know what, with the information that I've gathered. And females being like the majority of the population in Africa, it doesn't make sense us being left out. You know, this is a new revolution. This is a new tool that can empower all Africans. So, if we all want liberation against the monetary financial system, then we need everybody on board. So I was like, okay, already the men are in this space. We also need female participation to be decision makers, policy makers, contributors, devs, investors, whatever way that they can come in and contribute. So I reached out to a few of my friends and I asked them, like, have you heard about Bitcoin? They were like, yes. And I was like, why don't you participate? And they're like, oh my God, this is a male-dominated field. And there was all sorts of reasons as to why they don't attend those meetings. So I was like, okay, fine. This is the problem. What is the solution? So he came up with that solution, and this was creating a community, a safe space where females can actually come and share their challenges. They can come and learn. They can come and share their experiences as well and contribute to that particular space.
Awesome. In what ways do you believe Bitcoin and blockchain can empower African women both economically and socially, and how does Bitcoin Dada kind of help in that effort?
So essentially, Bitcoin Dada, what we do is to try and empower the African female through financial education with a focus on Bitcoin. So we actually leverage on Bitcoin as a tool. What happens with Bitcoin Dada is we have online classes that runs for like 6 weeks. So it's an online course that runs for 6 weeks. It's open to all African females. After the classes, they get to graduate and they get to decide how do I want to participate in the space. So we have recently launched a mentorship program to just close in that education gap. For the first cohorts, we only had the education and then did the graduation and that was it. But for the last cohort, we've had a mentorship program where the girls get to go through the mentorship program. And then if possible, we try and match talent and skill to different organizations. So we not only focus on Bitcoin companies because there are so few and not all of them are hiring. So we also like try and match them with tech companies. And we are hoping that next year it will be bigger and better and well structured. We just started. It's like a pilot. It was like a pilot. And I am happy to say that we have a few students who've already been matched to companies. And I think the one that I really love or was really like a success for me was matching skills to BitTrust. So yeah, so that is what Bitcoin Dada is all about. Also
And
mentoring them in starting their own businesses, because that's also important. And also trying to create their own companies in the Bitcoin space, because there's a lot that they can do in the space.
for Africans in Kenya in particular, because they're so kind of bogged down with all these different cryptocurrencies, people trying to convert them to buy into this or to buy into that, how do you address the concerns related to the volatility of Bitcoin or the potential regulatory challenges that African nations might see as Bitcoin becomes more ubiquitous in the space?
Okay, so two things. One, it's very important. This is why we focus on financial education, not just on Bitcoin, because it's important for people to understand. Even with our own fiat currency, they're already volatile. I mean, if you look at what happened to Malawi, their currency got devalued by 44%. Just like, was it last week or last week but one? So you can't really say Bitcoin is volatile and like our fiat currencies. So once one starts understanding that, they know, okay, fine, Bitcoin might be a better option. Now, two, as much again, so yeah, we do agree Bitcoin is volatile. And I do hope that we get to come up with a solution such as the stable sats, and especially for people who are actually accepting, who started accepting Bitcoin as a form of payment. I'll give an example of my students who are entrepreneurs. So what they normally do is accept like 70% in fiat and then 30% in Bitcoin, because they understand that if they want to like have a long-term savings, then they cannot do it in their own fiat currency. So they actually opt for Bitcoin. And then also, people need to understand that Bitcoin is not like a get-rich-quick scheme. So if one is getting into the space, then you're not getting into it because you want to become a billionaire overnight or the next 1 month. Yeah. So if you're looking into maybe securing your wealth, then you have to have like a plan of maybe 5 years, 10 years. I think that will really help. Removing that concept or notion that if I actually buy Bitcoin today, then next year I'll be a billionaire. In matters of regulation, then there's a really gray area around African countries on that, you know, and the beauty about Bitcoin, it's open source. And before it actually gets banned, and I'm not sure how that is going to be possible, being it's open source, you know, it's permissionless and no one can actually control it, then it becomes challenging to say that the government has actually banned this particular crypto or Bitcoin in that country. So what we do is just encourage people to use it the right way, and especially if you can be able to use it on platforms that are non-KYC.
Okay, thank you, Marcel, for that insight. And, you know, you've really been blowing up in the space lately. And of course, you know, I'm going to give you your flowers, because I just think that you're just an awesome human being. And what you're doing for Bitcoin Dada, for the women in Nairobi, is something that needs to be kind of, you know, championed and talked about. And I think that other organizations, other institutional investors or people that are curious to find ways to help Africa, to help women in Africa, have really been reaching out to you. So what was your initial reaction to receiving the $10,000 grant from the Human Rights Foundation? And you don't have to disclose this, but, you know, how do you plan to kind of utilize those funds to help Bitcoin Dada become even bigger?
Okay, so first off, it's not just Nairobi alone. So Bitcoin Dada has spread its wings to other African countries. We have students from Uganda, Nigeria, South Africa as well. And we are looking to get into more countries. And this is one of the areas that the human rights donation has actually been able to help us, you know, running these classes, doing community outreach. We've been able to actually now start partnering with universities. So far we have done with, and also with the help of Machankura as well, we've been able to reach out to 3 universities here in Nairobi. One is not inside Nairobi, so I'd say in Kenya, 3 universities in Kenya. And we've been able to actually teach them about Bitcoin and just trying to eradicate the misinformation that they get, because the reason why we went for universities is because, one, they're the youths, and they are the most targeted when it comes to cryptocurrencies and all the shit coins, you know. So I felt that it was important to also not only work with African women, but also the youth, because now with every cohort, it's like we are building leaders, right? We are building others, educators. We have now skills that the females are also becoming more confident in themselves. So instead of just like wasting this skill set that I already have, so what we normally do is, what we've been able to do, of course, with the donations and the funds that we've gotten, is visiting these universities and also training them on what Bitcoin is and why Bitcoin is important and why not to get themselves into the crypto space blindly. And also what we've been able to do with their funds is, so initially if you've actually followed Bitcoin Dada, initially I used to do everything by myself, but now I am able to have like a team of four people who of four individuals who are really helping me, all of course from former students of Bitcoin Dada, and I am able to pay them in Bitcoin. So that's like an income opportunity for the ladies, you know. And and of course, with the help or the donations that we might get in future, I'm hoping to expand again our outreach to not only the universities in Kenya, but also across the continent, and also set base in other African countries. A very good example of what we hope to do next year. So we already have like a team in Uganda. If you follow us, you'll notice that our last graduation ceremony, we had three ladies coming from Uganda to actually attend their own graduation. And so what we've done, because already they're like leaders, you know, they're already educators. So what we've done is like come up with a community in Uganda that already has like 30 other females who are just waiting to go through the course again. So if we can have such leaders in every other African continent and not depend fully on Marcel, then that will be really, really great. So yes, receiving HRF funding was like a big thing for me. It was a big deal for me. I actually thought it was, I really didn't take it seriously until I actually saw the stats. So, because I got the email in the middle of the night. I don't know what I was doing, but I'm a night owl. So anyway, so I got the email and it said, hi, we've accepted, blah, blah, blah. You'll be receiving this. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I see the announcements on their platform. I'm like, okay, so if it's out in the public, then this is real. And then they see the money. I'm like, wow, okay, so this is really happening. So it was a really big thing for me. And I must add that we also got funding from Samara Assets, whose CEO is Patrick Laurie, of which also was like a big, big deal for me and my girls as well, which again has enabled us to, you know, expand our operations, because that is the main thing. As time goes by, the interest that we're getting from individuals, the interest that you're getting not only from individuals, but also from institutions is becoming bigger and bigger, because now we're seeing people like companies wanting us to actually come and train their females. You know, we hear this is a new concept and we don't want to like be left behind. Can you come and train this set of people, you know, and all that like costs money. So I am glad that we do have supporters in this space. I am glad that there are people who actually see our vision, see our mission, and they're like, I want to support those ladies in Africa.
Yes, I think that that's awesome. I'm so happy for you that, you know, you're kind of receiving the recognition that you deserve. And I think that Bitcoin Dada is going to do some really great things going into the next year. And I'm just happy to see that people are really acknowledging that and seeing the vision that you have put in the work to kind of get to a place where people can see Bitcoin Dada, not just something in Kenya that's blowing up, but it's becoming this global phenomenon for women all over the continent of Africa to find a place to actually learn and grow about Bitcoin. So Marcel, I wanted to ask you something too, that what I really love about your platform is that you have her Bitcoin stories, right? And, you know, you have a student that graduated from there that I found to be very intelligent, very entertaining. And that person is Sandra Mamai. And she talked about her story. She talked about her level of technical know-how. And I wanted to ask you, how does Bitcoin Dada structure its educational programs to cater to women with varying levels of tech or financial literacy?
Good question. So that is where the mentorship program comes in. So the first stage is actually just go through the basics. And then after the education, after the graduation, then now we look at individuals as, with their level of interest. So are they technically inclined? Are they like more into maybe education and all that kind of stuff? So what we have, or what we are trying to do, is encourage them, like now apply to platforms or programs like BTrust or Afro Bitcoin Fellowship Program, actually, we have like a student who just got accepted by both BTrust and the Afro Bitcoin Fellowship Program. So going through our platform or going through our program gives them more confidence that, you know, I'm more inclined to the tech stuff. But now with the information that I've gotten from Bitcoin Dada, then I feel like I'm able to actually apply and start contributing just as the males are in all these other tech platforms. So yeah, so that's how we cater for all kinds of interests, level of interest.
So I know that you recently just came back from Ghana, and you know, Ghana had a huge event, the African Bitcoin Conference. And what were some key takeaways or experiences that you had while taking the stage at the Africa Bitcoin Conference?
Wow. First of all, let me say Ghana is a beautiful country. I love the people. Ghana is a beautiful country. I love the people. I love the culture. Oh my God. I love the food. I love the food. So yeah, props for Ghana. So I think meeting new people in the space, you know, with the Bitcoin Twitter, you get to interact with people in on X or Twitter. And then meeting them in the flesh is something different. Having conversations, you know, around financial freedom is really something that I would say was like a highlight for me. The other thing I would say is having Jeff Booth, you know, volunteer to come and train our ladies. So that was like a highlight for me, interacting with Jeff Booth and having him volunteer to come and train the ladies for us in the next cohort. I think the other thing that was a highlight for me, and this was like very emotional, was when one of the guests, I would call them like a guest, he had bought the books from Zonda, the author of Bitcoin for Kids. And he had bought books for his nieces. And he came up to me and told me, I want you to sign these books because I feel my nieces would be really encouraged that a female is taking part in this space. So for me, that was really touching, you know, having signed, it's like now doing like an auto signature for them. So yeah, what else would I say about my experience in Ghana? I mean, just being on stage, just being like a role model, because one of the things with Africa or African females, we lack role models in this space. We are very few. Like I don't think we are more than 10. If I start counting African females in the space, I don't think I'll get to my 10 finger. So being there, sharing the space, sharing the stage with other African females was really like, felt like, okay, I'm now a role model to other females who can be able to say, okay, fine, if Marcel is doing it, if Marcel is up there, then I can also be up there. And that is one of the things that I hope to be to a lot of African females, because I know for sure there's a lot of talent and skills in the continent, but what we lack as females is confidence. And this stems from the fact that we have been socialized to think that certain things, certain spaces, certain rooms are not meant for us. You know, you grow up with your male cousins or whatever, other male individuals, and for them, they're encouraged, you know, they're encouraged to speak up, they're encouraged to speak out, they're encouraged to participate in tech spaces, you know, maths and sciences. But for females, you're not encouraged to do that. So you grow up with this mentality thinking that you're sort of like an inferior, or you grew up thinking that this is not, I cannot actually participate in this particular space, you know, I'm not worth it. So having African females on that particular stage is like, you know, it helps African females like build their confidence, you know, grow from that level where they feel like they're nothing, or they feel like they're second class citizens, to actually realizing that they also have power. They can actually hold positions of power in the space. They can be contributors, you know, they can do whatever they want, as long as, I don't know, proof of work.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, because, you know, anytime that people are curious about Bitcoin from a female perspective, I always let people know, like, look, you got to check out Marcel. You have to check out Bitcoin Dada, because what she is doing is going to really change the narrative of what it is to be female in Africa. And I know I always give you your props, and I might be a little biased, but I truly think that the mission that you're on, the statement that you're trying to give to the world, is something that is really going to change the perspective of Bitcoin for women. And I think that that is vastly important. And I'm super glad that the Africa Bitcoin Conference had you on stage to tell your truth, because so many women are looking to you. So many women are inspired by your story, and they're going to continue to be inspired by your story as your platform continues to grow into maturation in the next few years. So, you know, I'm just truly honored to even have a conversation with you, Marshall, on, you know, kind of your mission and, you know, what people are looking for what an African woman or what a representation of an African woman should look like in the Bitcoin space. And I think that you're doing that with the utmost potential and the utmost excellence. As Bitcoin Dada continues to grow and evolve, what is your ultimate vision for the organization and its impact across Africa?
Okay. Well, I have a lot of goals for Bitcoin Dada. You know, I would say two things, or three rather. I would say, again, I want every African country to have like a representation of Bitcoin Dada. I want us to get to the point where Bitcoin Dada does not depend on myself. I want to have like an open model that females can actually come and learn, you know, build their own community, because again, we have 54 countries in Africa. So every country has its own challenges. So if we can get to sort of have leaders who understand their own country's challenges, you know, what they're going through, how best they can actually utilize Bitcoin in their own country, I feel that will really like be a success for me. Two, I would say having like a Bitcoin innovation hub in Kenya, you know, just have like a space where females can actually come and learn, you know, have our events, because again, holding events in public areas is quite expensive. You know, so if we can have like a station where people know that this hub is actually for Bitcoin Dada and it's for females or maybe the youth. Lastly, I would say, and this is really like a big, big thing, probably should have started with this. So for, and especially this, I want to do this next year, and it's more on matching organizations with talent and skills, you know. Having the ladies get an opportunity, an equal opportunity in the space for me, in the tech space as well, that is like the biggest dream I have for Bitcoin Dada. And I think that is what will create like the biggest impact. And I would say this, when you empower like an African female, or when you empower a female or an individual, you not only empower that individual, but you're essentially empowering the community. It's not really about, the end goal is not really about making females better. It's actually making the continent better.
I agree with that 100%. And that's well said from, you know, the boss lady herself. And my last question for you, Marcel, is how does it feel reflecting on your journey from the founding of Bitcoin Dada to now being this recognized voice on global platforms, discussing financial freedom and women's empowerment?
Well, I would say it's really emotional for me, and especially when I get to see my students, you know, growing, because it's more of like dealing with it's an analogy like having babies and then seeing them go through universities and getting a job or creating their own life. It's almost the same thing. So when I started Bitcoin Dada, I wasn't really sure how far I would go with it. I just saw a problem and I decided to, let me try and solve this. And I would be honest with you, when I started Bitcoin Dada, it was more of, I'm just going to try. I'm not sure if it's going to work. I don't even have the proper information around this technology, but there's a problem that needs to be solved. Will I get people along my journey to help me? I am not sure, but all I'm going to do is try. So being at a level where I am getting the help, I am getting the recognition, my students are actually starting to build their own names, you know, with their own skill set. For me, it's really like It's truly emotional. I am so happy that we have gotten to this level. And I'm saying we because my students are also part of my success story, right? Without them, there would not be any Bitcoin Dada. So I am happy that we have gotten to this level. And I can't wait to see where we will be at 5 years from now or 10 years from now.
Yes, I agree. I think that Bitcoin Dada's future is very bright. And interviews like this and people reaching out to you and you getting more acknowledgement in the media is only going to make Bitcoin Dada that much more special and that much more impactful for the community. And of course, you're going to see more people reaching out. You're going to have more opportunities to kind of empower women to get into those tech-based jobs, those Bitcoin-based jobs. And, you know, Africa is a melting pot of talent. And I always tell people this all the time, that some of the most intelligent, insightful people are coming out of Africa, and Kenya is no different. Nairobi is no different. Uganda is no different. Ghana, you know, Zimbabwe, they're just everywhere. And Bitcoin Dada is doing their part. Other organizations are doing their part. And I just really am happy and hopeful for the way that Africa is kind of becoming this beacon for Bitcoiners. And, you know, a lot of the FUD, a lot of the disinformation about what a woman is in Bitcoin, what an African woman is in Bitcoin, is being debunked by people such as yourself, Marcel. And I just want to thank you and commend you for being on the Bitcoin Source and having this conversation, because anytime I talk to you, I'm always inspired. I'm always motivated to continue to push forward. And I just want to tell you on air, like, that's kind of what you do for me in this space. Every time I speak to you, I become more motivated and more inspired. So thank you, sister. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here and allowing me to share my story, you know, to the masses.
Yes, likewise. So once again, for all those out there, this is the Bitcoin Source. Please like, share, and subscribe if you find that this video or Marcel's story is insightful. And I will see you guys and gals on the next one.